The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, general ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm excited to be presenting the show right here from California. If it wasn't for me being at a Salem event and this wonderful organization that they are, I would never be here in California. But I have to say, the weather is absolutely beautiful. It is very interesting how they could turn a state so beautiful with such great weather, such beautiful mountains, and turn it into a place where people are fleeing. You would imagine that with the beauty of California, people would be dying to come here, almost like they do from all these other countries, dying to be in the United States of America, because it should be the freest, most lovable, friendly, accepting. I want to say accepting, I mean that it'll be friendly to most people here in the state of California, but it's not. And that's why I live in Arizona. But let me get to the point that I know you guys want to hear me talk about is Joe Biden. Jill Biden and Kamala's husband literally kissed on the lips. I cannot believe what I saw. And when people are complete clowns, this is how their expression comes out to fruition. When you see these people coming together, they're awkward. They don't really want to do it. They don't really want to be there. They're faking it for the American people. And what do? They end up bumping lips. But that's not even the most important thing here. Obviously, Joe Biden told a tremendous amount of lies. But I will say that my frustration is with all of us. Joe Biden is clearly dead in his brain. I don't believe he's inspiring whatsoever. Of course, he's going to lie. If you're a Democrat and you're trying to win the next election and you're trying to make your party look good, you're trying to impress the American people, you're going to tell a lie. You're going to exaggerate. You're going to do that. It's expected. I guarantee you that Republicans tell lies when they get up there. You cannot tell me that Republicans always tell the truth when they're up there doing a State of the Union address and they're not exaggerating. Listen, it is made for you to make your administration look good to the American people. However, the frustrating part of what I saw, and I did not watch the whole thing, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I did not want to waste my evening watching foolery. However, when I see Joe Biden get out there and say some of the most craziest things that I've ever heard, and then I see that the Republicans are in the audience mocking him, and it's really making our country look bad. I was talking to a gentleman on a plane on the way over here this morning, we were in the Admiral's Club. I was talking to him, and he was saying that, you know, I'm tired of the division in our country. Where are we going to go in the next 20 years? And my thought and what I told him was, I really wish that the politicians would be focused on being the unifiers. It is a shame. Everybody can have talking points. Everybody can talk to their blue in the face about how illegitimate Joe Biden is. But when you see how unprofessional our country looks at the State of the Union, it is saddening to me. I really wish, and I know that some people may not like me saying this, I really wish that when the President of the United States of America is speaking, everybody shuts up and let him do the talking, and then the Republicans have the rebuttal. When the Republicans up there, I hope that everybody shut up. Let the Republican talk, Democrats have the rebuttal. We are not in middle school. For talking over the president, laughing at the president, yelling at the president, I just think it's just so tacky to me. This is the State of the Union, unobstructed. Let him say what he's going to say. We shouldn't have never elected him in the first. If you don't want him up there talking, you don't want a Democrat up there talking, then we shouldn't have, people shouldn't have voted for him. And I know none of y'all voted for him because y'all are perfect and y'all never make mistakes. I'm talking about other people that know that are Republicans, registered Republican, that voted for Joe Biden instead of Donald Trump. I'm sick of the division. And you know, I would argue that the lay member, the people like you and I, maybe we'll argue. Maybe at times we could be divided. But when you are a representative of the United States government, I just think it looks so tacky. The arguing and bickering back and forth. And the Republicans would have a response, and you don't have to get into that. If you're going to stand up and clap, I still think that stuff is tacky. Nobody needs you to stand up and clap. Everybody, because half of y'all standing up, half of y'all not standing up. It's just tacky to me. Tacky, 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 tacky. And I'm glad I didn't waste my time watching the crap. But I'm going to play a couple clips from Joe Biden and some of the things that he said, and explain why these things are just utterly false, so we can have context of reality. Let me roll with clip one, Joe Biden speaking about the COVID. Okay, 1 second. 1 second on the clips. I'm not going to play the clip now. We got to get the clips prepared. But I'm going to play the clip on Joe Biden talking about COVID. And another clip, I'm going to play Joe Biden talking about the assault weapons ban, which is the stupidest thing on planet Earth. Let's go with clip one.
And the data shows that for every dollar we put into fighting fraud, the tax rate get back at least 10 times as much. It matters. It matters. Look, COVID left its scars, like the spike in violent crime in 2020, the first year of the pandemic. We have an obligation to make sure all people are safe. Public safety depends on public trust, as all of us know. But too often that trust is violated. Join us tonight are the parents of Tyree Nichols.
Oh.
Welcome.
I invite the parents of Tyree Nichols. I would like to see the parents of, we could roll the dice. Just throw a name out there. You put some names in a hat and just do a draw. Of all the black children that have been murdered in the streets in the inner city for nothing. They weren't fighting. They weren't resisting. They weren't doing nothing. They were just existing and was shot in the head, murdered by thugs in the inner city. Bring some of them there. When you talk about violence, bring David Dorn's family killed in 2020 during these BLM riots. Bring Sakaria Turner's family. She was killed during a protest and two dumb black dudes decided to get into a fight and shooting at each other, murdered that young girl. Bring her family. When you talk about 2020 violence, you're talking about the breach of trust. Let me say this real quick. Don't talk about police officers killing black people when you don't care about black people killing black people. Why are you worried about cops when you don't even care about yourself? You want the white man to build a community. You won't build your own community. We'll have that conversation when the number of police officers killing black men, justified or not, comes somewhere close to black men killing black men. Okay, I'm going to move on. Let's go to clip two, Joe Biden lying about assault weapons.
He saw a man standing there pointing a semi-automatic pistol at him. He thought he was going to die, but he thought about the people inside. And in that instant, he found the courage to act and wrestle the semi-automatic pistol away from the gunman who had already killed 11 people in another dance studio. 11. He saved lives. It's time we do the same. Ban assault weapons now. Ban them now.
Dumb, da, dumb, dumb, dumb. Using an example of a kid who wrestled a gun out of somebody's hand after, not before, but after the gunman has killed 11 people. and he was lucky enough that he didn't get a bullet to the dome. He wrestled. Now, I will say that kid is heroic. He deserves a lot of respect and a lot of props. But you said you want to, and this is Biden, you want to do like he did. He stopped the gunman. Now it's time for us to do it. So now what you're saying is that the United States government is going to start wrestling the gun out of the hands of people after they kill people. Is that what you're saying, Joe Biden? Because your legislation and what you're proposing have nothing to do with the person you even brought to the State of the Union. You claiming that he wrestled out a handgun. You want to? He wrestled a handgun from somebody. You want to ban rifles. That don't make no sense whatsoever. How are you going to stop killing? See, the funny thing is that there is a plethora of examples of people who are armed with guns who are thwarting criminals with guns doing mass shootings. I remember in the mall, I think it was in Minnesota or somewhere like that, the guy came out of the bathroom with an AR-15, which is an example of an assault rifle that Biden is talking about, came out, shot two people, and got blown away by a young man with a gun. We should be saying to empower America is to empower Americans to have guns and defend themselves. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you can ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he's discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable feel of the original MyPillow, and now with the brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free offer with my promo code Brandon. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get to the buy one, get one free offer. Enter promo code Brandon or call 800-976-8379 to get your MyPillow 2.0s now.
On the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm very saddened, but actually enthusiastic to tell you guys about what Food for the Poor is doing for the people of Turkey and Syria. The death toll on Monday's massive earthquake in Turkey and Syria has now surged to past 11,000 people who have now been found dead. And I'm sure that there's going to be so many more in this unfortunate, devastating humanitarian crisis. Starting today, I'm joining forces with our friends at Food for the Poor to rush emergency relief supplies, medicine, and water to the hardest hit areas of Turkey and Syria, Syria. Just go to theofficertatum.com and click on the Help Turkey and Syria banner to show your love and the love of Christ to the men and women and children in Turkey and Syria who are facing their darkest hour. Food for the Poor and its partners are on the ground right now in Turkey and Syria, and they will use your gift of any amount. You don't have to put millions of dollars unless God has blessed you with it. Any amount will help. They will send critically needed food, safe water, and medical supplies to people just like you who are facing a very dark time. Lives are turned upside down, experiencing that 7.8 magnitude earthquake. I want you to join me. I want you to be the hands and feet of God that God has called us to be. And I want you to help today. Just go to theofficertatum.com and click on the banner. It's at the very top of my website. It says Help Turkey and Syria. The banner is there. Or you can text Tatum to 91999. Text Tatum to 91999, and we will literally together save lives right there in Turkey and Syria. And I just want to just reiterate to us that I know the feeling that you felt when you saw what happened. I saw the videos of the buildings come crashing down. My wife literally with tears in her eyes at how horrific it was. And we take for granted in America how safe we have it, how our structural infrastructure is capable of withstanding a lot of the major events that occur here. But in other places, that's not the case. and people with goals and dreams and families are completely devastated. Literally, some of them could be alive under rubble. Some I saw them running with babies in their hands. This is one of those moments where we're going to make a difference. And I want you to help me make a difference. And every time I speak about these things, it's me giving you an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. And I'll repeat it again, just in case you didn't hear it correctly. TheOfficerTatum.com, TheOfficerTatum.com. Click on the banner there, or you can text Tatum to 91999. I'm really hoping to get reports of us being of us doing great work, incredible work to help people. Now the death toll I just heard was up at 12,000. I'm imagining that it's closing in on 12,000. I would imagine that it's probably going to be close to 20,000 people. I mean, they still got to pick up rubble, and these countries are not as developed as we are. They don't have the infrastructure and stuff that we have. And so we have to help those people in a Christian organization, and showing the love of God is the best way to do it. It's almost like I don't want to talk about something else because that's such a very scary and sad situation. But we're going to do our best to help. And I want you guys to join me. And I cannot wait for the reports to hear how much we are going to help the women and children there. And I know, just like last time, my family, we're going to support as well as individuals. All right. Let's get back to the creepy Joe, slow-mo Joe, geriatric Joe. Given the State of the Union address, I wouldn't call it an address, because all he did was tell falsehoods and lies, and it's shameful, and I'm going to rebut what he said. Let's go to clip 4 from Joe Biden.
Let's face reality. The climate crisis doesn't care if you're in a red or blue state. It's an existential threat. We have an obligation, not to ourselves, but to our children and grandchildren, to confront it. I'm proud of how America at last is stepping up to the challenge. We're still going to need oil and gas for a while. But guess what? No, we do.
No.
But there's so much more to do. We got to finish the job. And we pay for these investments in our future by finally making the wealthiest and biggest corporations begin to pay their fair share.
First of all, can somebody point to something specific that is related to climate change? Because you remember when it was global warming. Remember that? And when everything didn't warm up like they said it was going to do, now it's climate change. I remember when they said they pretty much predicted that Florida would be underwater at this point. Show me a bank that has come out and said we're no longer giving loans for your beachfront properties, because in 10 years or so, it's going to be underwater. Not one bank is refusing to give loans to people for millions of dollars to get these beautiful houses right off the water. Barack Obama got a house on the water. All these people got houses right on the water. If climate control or climate change was going to be such a detriment, they would not waste their money or investments, because those houses are going to be underwater. No bank will give you a loan, and no insurance company will insure a house, a facility that you build right off the water. It will not happen. These people are frauds. Over 80%, I think it's about 60 to 80%. I think it's about 80%, if my math is correct, of carbon emissions are happening from two countries. Well, not say two countries. It's happening from China, India, and others outside of the United States of America. What are they going to do? Don't talk to me about turning our country upside down for climate control when the people that's producing the most is not going to do a doggone thing to change anything in the atmosphere. And they're unrealistic, and they're being ignorant about what they're projecting. That's why I do not subscribe to any of it. You cannot tell me that all of the vehicles in the United States of America are going to be electric vehicles. California can't even handle the electric grid as we speak. Rolling blackouts. I remember when Gavin Newsom got on the television and said, "Can you please turn your heater up to 78? It's going to be okay." And I was in Newport Beach when this happened. I mean, Yeah, Newport Beach. I was in Newport Beach. Me and my wife was at a resort. They didn't even have air conditioning. We were burning up in there. And he thinks that with a little heat wave like that, that California can withstand every millions of cars on the grid. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. And they know it's not going to happen. I would argue all these cowardice climate control people, what kind of car are you driving? They flying all around the country in private jets. And they trying to tell you to go sell your soul for clean energy. I think I'm running out of time. Hold the phone. Oh, 20 seconds. I got 20 seconds. I thought I heard 10 seconds. You're listening to the Officer Tatum Show. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. If you like listening to me and watching me at the same time on the radio, you can get it live, my first hour, at salemnewschannel.com, salemnewschannel.com. And if you have an app, you don't like to do the web browsing, do the .com, all you got to do is download the app. iPhone, Android, Salem News Channel, put it in the search engine, you will find it there, download it. Also, make sure, if you have a Roku, put it in there, Salem News Channel. You can get it on the Roku. Make sure you bookmark it so you can be ready, prepared every day I go live. You will see me and also hear my beautiful voice. Let's get back to criticism of Mr. Joe, Slow-Mo Joe, Creepy Joe, Geriatric Joe Biden, who got up at the State of the Union and really made a fool of himself. But let me just say this. I want to be honest with you guys. People that like him don't care what he say. They want him to say whatever they can use as a soundbite to say, see, look, he did create jobs. Climate change. That stuff ain't even real. They're using political talking points in order to leverage you for the next election, or to leverage you to spend your money, or leverage you to turn this country into socialism and communism. When I hear a person say, and this as a business owner, when I hear somebody say, big corporations need to pay their fair share. Do you not understand how many taxes big corporations pay and they allow people to pay? It's just me. I'm a small company. I think we got like 12 employees. We got like 9 employees and then we got a few other contractors. I look at that, what I have to pay, the taxes that I have to pay on their behalf. It's called payroll taxes. And how much taxes I have to pay, the company has to pay. Do you know how much money we pay in the government? And these people come here, they got to pay state tax as well. It makes no sense. Now imagine one of these major corporations like Amazon. Do you know how many people work for Amazon? Do you know how many people are paying taxes not only for the services, they got to pay sales tax, and then the employees are getting paid, the company has to pay payroll tax, and then the individual people, when they buy stuff outside of Amazon, they have to pay tax, they have to pay state tax. All of these taxes, everywhere you go, your money getting taxed. You die, you getting taxed. Kids are born. Now, I don't know if they charge you. I didn't look at the bill. When your baby's born and they put all that stuff on, they charge the insurance company. I don't know if they add tax on there. Maybe they do. Or maybe they just roll it into the price. Somebody paying tax on some of that money. We need the big companies pay the fair share. It just sounds cute because most people do not own businesses. Most people do not understand how businesses work. They go to work. They know they get their check on the 1st and the 15th, or they get it every 2 weeks. They don't know the ins and outs of what goes into some of these companies and how much they have to pay, especially these major corporations. But Joe Biden is just like the rest of them, telling you what you want to hear, not what you should know. I got more. Where's my clip sheet at? I know I got it here somewhere. Joe Biden. Okay, I got another one for you. Let's go to clip 5.
2 years ago, COVID had shut down. Our businesses were closed. Our schools were robbed of so much. And today, COVID no longer controls our lives. And 2 years ago, democracy faced its greatest threat to the Civil War. And today, though bruised, our democracy remains unbowed and unbroken.
So now you blame it on COVID. COVID shut our country down. I didn't know COVID was the commander in chief. Last time I checked, COVID is not running the Congress. COVID is not running the president of the United States of America. COVID didn't come out and make an emergency order to say that we should shut places down. COVID is not the governor of any one of these states. You shut the country down. Governors shut the country down. Our politicians shut our country down. It wasn't COVID. I don't know why people still listen to that. Quit blaming and I would argue that COVID wasn't even as bad as they made it out to be. It was them getting leverage over you. And I believe they're planning for the future. When they want to shut you down, they're going to scare you and tell you whatever they want to tell you so you can cower and you can put a mask on your face for another 20 years. I was on a plane today. I saw somebody with a mask on their face. And the lady pulled a mask. She was talking to somebody. She pulled a mask down to say something. Hey, what are you wearing a mask for? If you're going to pull it down and yell at a man. God, these people are nutty. But the government knew that they put fear in enough people that they will be brainwashed in perpetuity. They have you on autopilot. And then as soon as the next thing come out, you're ready to go. They ain't got to take you from being a smart, free American. You already right here in communism, and they just take you to the next level. I guarantee you there's going to be another one. As soon as they want it to happen, it's going to happen, and half of the country is going to buy it. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm sitting there holding the wrong paper. However, I want to tell you guys about the MyPillow 2.0. Now, just when I thought that MyPillow Mike Lindell had the coldest pillows in the game, he then turned around and made a MyPillow 2.0. Now, mine is coming in the mail, so as soon as I lay my head on that pillow, I'm going to tell you about it. But I can't even imagine a pillow being better than the original MyPillow. And with the cool fabric and technology that Mike Lindell has put on this pillow with the thermal cooling and all this other stuff that he got going on, I am excited to see how wonderful this pillow is. I know for a fact for you guys who already have pillows or you have never had a MyPillow before, you do not want to miss out on this opportunity. And for my listeners exclusively, you can buy one, get one free by putting in promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com. So go to MyPillow.com, put in promo code Brandon. You can buy one, get another one free. Also, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. So if that pillow don't change your life and make you happy, then you can consider telling them you want your money back. But I'm almost sure that you ain't going to go that far because I've been sleeping on that MyPillow for a long time. I don't know how they put little baby pillows in the pillow. It's little bitty pillows in there that you lay on. I could talk about it the whole show. Anyway, let me get back to Joe Biden. So Joe Biden talks about COVID, and they use these terms like COVID shut our country down. No, you shut our country. No, Trump shut our country down. Your government shut our country down and our schools. Y'all had no business doing this. My producer, the Forgotten Man, gave me an article, and I didn't get to do it on the show, but his kids are 100 times less likely to be sick from COVID or have, you know, reactions to COVID as adults. I believe that's what the article said. That is, but y'all shut the schools down. Just admit y'all was wrong. Y'all know what the F y'all doing. Can you just admit that? Can you admit Dr. Fauci is a fraud? Just admit it. You ain't got to do nothing. Just admit that y'all don't know what y'all doing and y'all screwed us. Because we have this idea that the people who are running our government, that they're smart and that they are acting in our best interest and that they actually know what they're doing. No, they out here. Listen, they out here guessing. I'm telling you, they get Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci don't know what he's talking about. They don't know nothing about the virus. All he know is he was a part of gain of function research at the Wuhan lab. And he probably don't know what virus got out. But he knows one of the ones they were working on that is man-made. So he probably had an indication of, to some degree, what it may do to you. But he don't know how to do. He don't know what to do. These people just get up there and they got a title and they talk. He guessing just like the rest of us. That's why one minute he say wear a mask. Next minute he say don't wear a mask. Then one minute they say, well, you should wear a mask, but the problem is touching your face and all that. The actions of putting on a mask is more detrimental than the mask itself. Then they tell you have to wear a mask. Then they mandate the mask. Then they don't mandate the mask. Then you catch this fool at a baseball game with the mask down on his lip. Brother, which one is it? Dr. Fauci ain't a young chicken. And we already know the people that are most affected are people who are older with comorbidities. Now, right off the bat, they knew that it was only affecting people with comorbidities. Well, not only, but the majority of the people that were affected with comorbidities. They can't name a kid that died from COVID-19. But yet they locked the whole school down. And then they didn't want to give you a choice. These people don't know what they're doing. They guessing. They in a back room somewhere rolling dice. Okay, I guess we shut the country down for 2 weeks. 2 weeks to slow the spread. Listen, it's like a prophet. I look at these people like the Bible used to, well, I say used to. The Bible still does. Now modern Christianity, I don't even know what they do with prophets. But back in the Bible, if a prophet were to give a false prophecy, an inaccurate prophecy, that person was never to be able to be taken seriously and could never prophesy again. That person was considered to be a liar and they could never be trusted to prophesy. When you tell me 2 weeks is slow to spread and it turned into 2 years, you're a false prophet. You know nothing about what you're talking about. We cannot trust you. All right, moving on. Let's see, we got a couple more clips that I wanted to show. Let me play Marjorie Taylor Greene, and then I'll give a little bit of commentary on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Roll clip three.
All of you at home should know what those plans are. Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. Well, I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion. No,
come on, man.
You know, it means if Congress doesn't keep the program the way they are, they'd go away. Other Republicans say, I'm not saying it's a majority of you. I don't even think it's even a significant. But it's being proposed by individuals.
All right, I'm done listening to the cackling. Man, I love conversion therapy. Conversing. Do you mean conversing or you mean conversion? I don't know what he don't know what he mean. That dude is nutty. And he's the president of the United States of America. But they mocked him because he's telling flat out lies in front of the world, claiming that Republicans want to get rid of the Social Security in order to. I believe that Republicans are trying to stop us from going so deep in the debt. Republicans have been contributing factors in the last administration and Trump's administration. I'm not saying it's bad. Sometimes you got to go into debt to get out of debt, if you know what I'm saying. But I mean, we got to cap it at some point. We trillions of dollars in debt. You can zero out the bank account of every billionaire in the United States of America, and you won't put a dent in a deficit. You can zero them out. I'm talking about completely wipe out all their net worth. You won't put a fraction of a dent in a deficit. So what sense does it make for you to make them pay their fair share, zero out these billionaires, and they're not incentivized to do any work in America. They're just going to go overseas. Why would you do that when you ain't finna fix the deficit no matter what? The problem is the government needs to stop spending money like they do on COVID. They throwing COVID money. Man, I'm not going to lie. I wish I'd have took advantage of it. I wish I had a reason to get COVID relief funds. I'd have pocket that money. I'd have flipped that money 100 times. They just throwing money in the wind. But let me take a break because I got to tell you about Relief Factor. If you are looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day. I'm a little disappointed because I left my Relief Factor at home this time. I hope somebody here got some Relief Factor because I don't want to miss a day. But Relief Factor is absolutely amazing, 100% drug free. And, you know, my mother-in-law, she takes it. I told you my guy at the warehouse is taking it. One of my good friends, Alan, he's here. Hopefully he can come watch the show here. He takes it. He tells me all about what it does for other people. I know what it does for me. Just give it a try. If you are a person that's listening and you on the fence, don't be a fence rider. Don't be lukewarm. The Bible says don't be lukewarm. Go to relieffactor.com and get started with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95. Relieffactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. My guy Sean just told me that that Joe Biden did not pronounce or say Tyre Nichols' name properly right in front of his family, in front of the world. As soon as you get that clip, I'm going to play it because I got a lot to say about that. But let me talk about Bernie. I'm a social justice warrior. I'm mad because I didn't beat Hillary Clinton. My own party robbed me of the primary. Sanders is the only person at the State of the Union that I saw wearing a mask. Can somebody, two people. He's dumb for wearing it. Rachel Maddow is dumb for commenting on this, and I'm going to get on both of them here in a second. Roll clip 6 of Rachel Maddow.
1,000 people in that room. I have to say, I know this is wrong, but it does give me the oogs a little bit to see the average age in that room and then to see precisely one mask in the entire room. I mean, like, I realize that we're in a different position with the COVID pandemic, but these are a lot of very important, very powerful, for the most part, very old people. And there's 1,000 of them in the room, and they're going to be in there screaming together for several hours. And Bernie Sanders is the only mask that I've seen.
Well, it's coming at the time that the White House is saying that, you know, the COVID, trying to point to it.
Dummy one, dummy two. First of all, our president is dumb. Maddow is dumb. And Bernie is dumb. Let me tell you how all three of them are dumb. Joe Biden and the Democrat Party leadership shut our country down. Remember, you couldn't go to work. But for some reason, you couldn't go to work at all because of COVID. And you got to get fascinated. You got to get fascinated. That's probably what Biden would call it. But then Bernie can show up at an event with thousands of people. He's the only one wearing a mask. Somebody make this make sense. If the mask worked the way Bernie think it worked, then why can't we just go to work? Why do they have to shut down anything? We should have just wore a mask. You don't have to social distance. Bernie wasn't social distancing. What science is Bernie Sanders going off of? Because I'm confused. Either it works or it doesn't work. Either you can wear it in a populated area or you have to stay home and do it on Zoom because it's not effective enough. Bernie probably got the Fauci ouchie. So, bruh, you got the mask. You got the vaccine. What scientists are you listening to today? Because you just look real crazy right now. And Maddow saying, and she really said what she really believed. She don't care about y'all going to the L.A. Rams game where it's 60,000 people, are going to the Tennessee Volunteers or going to Ohio State game where it's 100,000 people screaming for an hour with nothing on. She don't care about them because y'all not important. She care about the people that are in Congress. There's pretty important people here. We wouldn't want them to get sick from COVID and die. But the rest of y'all, we couldn't care less. You couldn't pay Rachel Maddow to get on there and say anything about all those people in Chicago and all around the country going to these sporting events with no mask. Ladies and gentlemen, hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, coming live right here from Cali. What a beautiful state. You know, when I got off the airport in Burbank, I got into the airport, off the airplane. Let me slow down. And got out of the airport in Burbank. And I don't know if you've ever, if any of you guys ever can, any of you guys can relate to what I'm saying about the Burbank airport. Is when you, if you go out, you cross the street and you get in the parking garage and you go all the way up to the top on the fifth, I think it's the fifth level. You can look out and see the mountains and there's houses on the mountains. And I mean, incredibly beautiful view. A view that rivals any beautiful view of the mountains, just right there in the Burbank Airport. And then I was contemplating this with myself. I was riding down the street in the car, and I said, "It's such a beautiful state, but I would never live here." And it's sad that they have done it to the point where people like myself, who are entrepreneurs, why would I go to California when I can go to Arizona and I save a tremendous amount of money? I got all these employees. The taxes are lower. Payroll, sales tax. I mean, everything is lower. I bought a car in California and The thing is that I bought it and I had it shipped to Arizona. I bought it and did all the stuff and had it shipped to Arizona. And the reason I did that is because I didn't want to pay California taxes. So I could have got it and drove it, but if I got it and I drove it on California highways, technically it's a California purchase, and I would have to pay taxes in California. Do you know how much money I saved by just having it shipped to Arizona, paying Arizona sales tax, and not evading, it's the law. I can do that if I want to. And not paying California tax. You know how much money I saved on that car? It's a shame that they've done this state like this, because maybe it's overpopulated. Maybe that's why they're doing it. But brother, I would live in California. I would move to California if it wasn't so crazy. If they weren't such leftists, because you mess around and move out here and they want to ban all cars. Gas cars. Everybody have to have Teslas and electric cars. Man, what am I going to do with my cars I already own that I invested in? You want me to come over here and throw my stuff away because some hippie want to? Okay. All right. I'm going to move on. But I have to say this, y'all. Joe Biden, I can't believe it. I can't believe Joe Biden is this bad. Now, Tyree Nichols was the young man that lost his life after getting into a violent confrontation with police. I'm not going to say he lost his life, the police killed him and all this. He lost his life after getting to a violent confrontation, because he didn't die until several days later. They believe, and I believe, you know, and I understand the probable cause nature of it, that his death was because of what happened at the traffic stop. Now, if you ask me, you ain't had no business, and I use that English, you ain't had no business running from the police, and they won't beat you and kill you unjustifiably. Now, besides all that, I think these cops need to go to jail, some of them, for what they did. There's no way you punch a man in the head the way they did and kick him and do all that crazy stuff. I hope you go to jail. Now, moving on, Joe Biden brought the family to the State of the Union address. And somebody, I don't know if his brain took a vacation or what, somebody should have told him what the boy's name was. How you gonna get, you got his, you only got a few people's families up in the thing. Write it on a piece of paper. Have somebody in your ear tell you it's Tyree. He called him Tyler. You call him Tyler in front of his family. But don't believe me. Listen to the clip. Roll the clip.
Restricting no-knock warrants, another key element of the George Floyd Act. Let's commit ourselves to make the words of Tyler's mom true. Something good must come from this. Something good.
Now, who is Tyler? Because Breonna Taylor, I'm going to go back to the no-knock thing in a minute. Breonna Taylor, nobody named Tyler in that situation. Then you go on to whatever other stuff he's talking about. I don't think I know anybody who was killed in a no-knock warrant whose name was Tyler. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe I heard it wrong. I'm under the impression he was talking about the words of Tyree's mom, not Tyler's mom. But let's go to no-knock warrants real quick. And this is why I lost a lot of respect. Even though he says a lot of good things, I lost a lot of respect for Senator, I can't think of his name now. He's a senator in Kentucky. Rand Paul. And not Paul Ryan. I always get them mixed up. Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul. I lost a lot of respect for him when he tried to introduce that. I think they even passed it. Introduced the Breonna Taylor bill. Let me just tell you how stupid that was. Breonna Taylor did not die as a result of a no-knock warrant. She did not die as a result of a no-knock warrant. Can I say that again? Breonna Taylor did not die as a result of a no-knock warrant. They knocked on the door. That's why she died, if you ask me. If they'd have conducted a no-knock, they would have been in the house. Nobody would have been able to get a gun. They would have been up on them, and they would have been in custody, just like they did at the house where the big-time criminal Jamarcus Glover was. He was the big-time criminal at the trap house with guns and drugs and all this other stuff they got. They did a no-knock and nobody got hurt there. Breonna Taylor was a low-level criminal in the criminal enterprise. and they knocked on the door and end up getting into a shootout. And let me just explain this to you. She did not die because of a no-knock warrant. They knocked. The question was it a no-knock exception? Yes, they had a no-knock exception. Banning no-knock warrants would not bring Breonna Taylor back to life, ever. None of these people. And I'm going to tell you this. This is why you conduct no-knocks. They conduct a no-knock warrant on Jamarcus Glover's place. Everybody lived. When people are involved in the dope game, they're very suspicious. Typically, they have guns. Somebody come beating on their door in the middle of the night yelling police means nothing to a drug dealer. Because drug dealers who rob other drug dealers, they knock on the door and say, police, police, police. Some of them go so far as having tactical vests on that say police because they want the other drug dealers to open the door so they can run in their house and tie them up and steal all their drugs and murder them if it comes down to it. So when you're dealing with people who are in the dope game, heavily involved in criminal enterprise, such as the one that Breonna Taylor was involved in, you want to conduct a no-knock warrant. So therefore, you can breach the door. Speed of surprise and tactics will not allow anybody to get a gun and shoot you at the door. Now, I'm not blaming any of the police officers because they tried to mitigate the situation and handle it with proper protocol. But I would argue that it should have been a no-knock warrant. And for Joe Biden and Rand Paul to talk about no-knock warrants, it's just stupid to me. As a former police officer who was on the SWAT team, I would argue that anybody that talk about no-knock warrants, go and do a ride-along with the police department. Hopefully they let you do one with SWAT. And you will see how we conduct no-knock warrants. You can even go to the training. You want police officers to get killed if you are a person who's saying you want to ban all no-knock warrants. You want them to die. Because these criminals, let me give you a couple scenarios real quick. If you're doing a warrant on a house of a pedophile, which I was a part of doing one of those warrants for the FBI. I wasn't involved. I was on a containment, all right, because we can't mix agencies. So I ain't going to sit here and say I kicked down a door. But I was on containment, and I'm watching the way they operate. This guy was the number two child porn downloader in the country. And they were going to catch him. His wife had saw the porn. She set him up. They waited till, you know, she left, went to the store. He was by himself, and they hit the house. Now, let's ban no-knock warrants in that scenario. He is the number two downloader of child pornography on his computer. And I'm assuming that you can't just look at child porn. You got to be able to go to dark web. You got to know about computers to try to evade that type of viewership. Because the government didn't do it. His wife caught him. Knock, knock, knock. Who is it? It's the police. We coming in there. We know what you're doing. And you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison. Please let us in the door. And he's going to go and delete all that porn off his computer. Boom, 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 boom. He going to download it. He going to eat it. He going to throw it in the toilet. He can do whatever. He going to be in there working. And then he going to come to the door. Hey, how can I help you guys? Oh, you can sure look at my computer. Go and check it out. Or he just bashed the computer up and then say, you can come check it out. This is why you conduct no-knock warrants. You got a person that's been selling dope to your kids in the community for the last 20 years. I got to go to break. I'm running out of time. Hold the phone. I'll tell you. I'll finish that story here in a second. You listen to The Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back.
Faith, not fear. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. The death toll in Monday's massive earthquake in Turkey and Syria has now surged to, it's approaching now 12,000 people, with the toll expected to rise in the days ahead. And rescues are being hampered by the bad weather and the temperatures falling into the 20s. This is a real live experience of a devastating humanitarian crisis. Now, I talk about a lot of stuff on the radio, but when it comes to children, when it comes to families, when it comes to devastations that occur that are outside of the confines of the people, meaning it's not self-inflicted. These people have no choice in an earthquake coming through and killing so many people. I saw videos of people running with babies filled with dirt, pulling them from buildings. I mean, this is such a terrible event. However, we are going to come together on this show, and I'm going to do it also on my YouTube channel, because I believe in us coming together to help. And Food for the Poor, I'm partnering with them once again for this particular relief. And Food for the Poor will rush emergency relief supplies, medicine, and water to the hardest hit areas in Turkey and Syria. All you have to do to join me in contributing and helping out is go to theofficertatum.com. That's T-H-E, officertatum.com. Click on the Help Turkey and Syria banner to show the love of Christ to men and women and children of Turkey and Syria in their darkest hour. Food for the Poor and its partners are on the ground in Turkey and Syria, and they will use your gift of any amount. You ain't got to be rich. You don't have to have a lot of money. And if you have a lot of money, give as God has blessed you with. But any amount that you give will be used to speed up or rush critical needed food, safe water, and medical supplies to these people who are just like you and I, who have their life turned upside down in the 7.8 magnitude earthquake. Let's not let this opportunity to help escape us. Find it in your heart, find it in your wallet, whatever it takes. Let's do something. And I say this till I'm green in the face. You don't have to give. You don't have to contemplate, well, I don't have enough money. You give what God has blessed you with. And it can be 25 cents. You give. You do something. Because all of us working together, we can do something amazing. So go to theofficertatum.com, T-H-E, officertatum.com. Click on the Help Turkey and Syria banner. Or you can text Tatum to 91999. Text Tatum to 91999, and we are going to do what we can to save and help as many people as we can in Syria and in Turkey. All right, let me get back to the conversation I was having about the no-knock warrants. I told you guys, and I know a lot of people gave me pushback on my YouTube about no-knock warrants. If you are on a SWAT team, you will understand me. If you have done policing, you will understand. I gave the scenario of the guy who was the pedophile that we had to go and bust in his house. If you eliminate no-knock warrants, how are you going to address that situation? You need to be able to enter into his home and secure his computer before he deletes it. That's the reason for no-knock warrants. You should be able to get in there and secure it. They had a code that they know that they push on a computer to lock it. Because as soon as they got in there, they knew he was going to try to lock his computer or delete all his material. It's 2023. I guarantee you these people have some mechanism on their computer that'll wipe their computer with one keystroke. And then all the evidence, and your children were victimized, whatever, in this situation, the evidence is gone forever. Because somebody wants there to be, for the police officer to knock on the door. No, do a no-knock warrant when it's applicable. And then if your son is a police officer, and he's on a SWAT team, do you really want him knocking on the door of a hardened criminal who's going to spend the rest of their life in prison? Do you want him to knock on the door and say, knock, 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 who's there? It's the police. We're going to take you to prison. You violate your parole, and you're going to go to prison for the rest of your life. Open the door for us, please. No, he's going to shoot the cops right through the front door. Do you want your kid being subject to that? No, you don't. But it's funny how people make, assumptions when it's not their children, not their family involved. So I think I'm moving past the no-knock warrant situation. But, yeah, I think I talked about Joe Biden and him calling the boy Tyler, which is idiotic to me. I want to play this clip from Joe Rogan about just a real quick clip from Joe Rogan, because believe it or not, and of course the media have demonized Joe Rogan, I think he's one of the most brilliant podcasters that I've ever heard. Now, I don't listen to a bunch of podcasters, right? I mean, I don't listen to 15,000 podcasters and I'm rating them based on that. I just listen to his show and I see all the unique things and the unique guests that he bring on. They talk about subject matter that is very interesting. And he does this years and years of content. And I like the way he's genuine and he's honest in his approach. I may not agree with everything, but I think he's an incredible podcaster. But I want to switch gears real quick and talk a little bit about the media silence on the Twitter files. Roll clip 7.
One of the best examples of that is the Twitter files. You see no coverage of this on CNN. No coverage of this astounding collusion between intelligence agencies and a social media network to suppress accurate information that would harm the political party that's in power, which is wild. It's wild that the news isn't covering this because, like, arguably, that's as big a scandal as Watergate. It's as big a scandal as any other times in the past where we've found that there's been some really shady going on that would change the way people would see a narrative.
Is that not accurate? And I love the fact that he doesn't parse, you know, he doesn't hold back on the things that he's saying. It is wild that a government in power is colluding with the social media platform to suppress speech, critical information, and they're working for the party in power to help them get elected. I remember when the whole Hunter Biden laptop thing came, and I cannot confirm or deny that I seen stuff on that laptop. It was all over the internet. And I cannot believe that that's not the top story on the internet. The president's son is seen in video and in pictures snorting drugs off of prostitutes. And not only is he doing that, he's exposing himself. He got weird, awkward pictures with him and younger girls in the picture. Now, of course, they got their clothes on, but it's still kind of weird. I think that needs to be investigated. I think that people should have an understanding that this is going on and that the president of the United States have a son that's compromised. Because if he left a laptop with this stuff on it, what kind of sabotage or bribery is he subject to? And then you go down and look at his stuff in Ukraine, working for Burisma. Then we ain't give 10% to the big man. And the guy doing business with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, Bobanowski, I forget his name, Bobolinsky or something like that, Bobolinsky, he said that 10% is Joe Biden. And they won't talk about it. Hold the phone, I'll be back after the break.
Seek and ye shall find. God's got your six, the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. If you enjoy listening to me on the radio, I'm pretty sure you will enjoy watching and listening at the same time. All you got to do is go to SalemNewsChannel.com, SalemNewsChannel.com. And if you don't want to do the .com, right, you're not a person that's on the desktop, you want to do it on your phone, you can download it on the app. We got you covered, baby. All you got to do is go to your iPhone or go to your Android, put in Salem News Channel in the search, and you can download the app today. If you're online, you can bookmark it and make sure you hold that there so every time I go on live, you can see my face and my beautiful voice. All righty, let me move on. I think I was speaking more so about the no-knock warrant situation, but I'll move past that. I think I spoke about this on the radio the other day, but I want to hone in on this. I got into a conflict with some people on my YouTube channel. And this is why I don't really talk about Christian stuff a lot. I mean, I talk about it, but I don't like going into depth about it because people get weird. But we were having this conversation about faith and works. And at times I can be a little argumentative with people. But I want to clear this up for all the Christians who want to pursue Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Faith is an action word. You cannot say, I have faith, and there's no actions associated. Let me just give you an example. If I told God, God, I have faith that you're going to allow me to get this job to be a janitor. Let's just say I wanted to be a janitor at this place, and I don't go fill out the application. I don't have faith. Faith says I go and fill out the application. That's faith. That's your faith. It takes works. It's combined together. And people talk about being saved. And they say, you only have to have faith alone. I would say yes, and I'll say no. You have to understand that faith is an action word. If you understand faith is an action word, you can say, yeah, you can't buy your salvation. You can't go, I'm going to work as hard as I can to achieve salvation. At least according to the Christians, you can't do that. But your faith is an action word. Just like when Abraham, he had to go sacrifice his son Isaac. It wasn't enough for him to just say, all right, Lord, I heard you. I think I could sacrifice my son. I think I got it. And then God goes, good enough, son, good enough. He had to physically go and put his son on the altar and go to kill him. And then God gave him a ram in the bush. It wasn't enough for Noah to say, all right, God, I got it. You trust me to build an ark? I got it. Not good. Good. I'm good. Right. I'm good. When the flood come, I'm good. Right. If I get around to doing the ark later, I mean, I guess. What would happen if he did that? His faith worked out through his actions. Therefore, his faith was justified by his actions. And other people had faith, right, that the ark was what it was when it was too late. So you can't just say, oh, I just have faith. You have to put that stuff into actions. And I said this about Jesus Christ of Nazareth as well. He can't just say, I'm the Messiah. I came here to die on the cross, everybody. And I come to die for your sins. And then God says, okay, that's enough. He said he's going to die for your sins. I count that as him dying on the cross and dying and raising him in 3 days. That it doesn't count. He had to get beat. He had to go to the cross. He had to die. He was dead. Some people may not teach that he was dead. He was dead. He probably started to stink. I don't know. 3 days. Then God rose him from the dead. It's an entire process that goes along with this. You cannot just say, I have faith with no action. Just like when Jesus said to his apostles, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right? You can't just say, I love you. I love you, Lord. No, no. He said, I don't care what your mouth say. Your mouth talking ain't faith. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Same thing when you get married. That would be easy for a husband to say, oh, baby, I love you. I'd do anything for you. And I'm sitting on the couch all day. My wife needs something from me. I ain't available. How am I going to tell my wife I love you and I don't show nothing? That's just lip service. It's the same thing with what people do with, when it comes to God. I'm a Christian. I love God. I do. What are you doing every day of the week? You ain't prayed. You haven't looked at your Bible. You're not doing anything. How are you going to have a good relationship if you don't put in any effort? But, you know, in modern day Christianity, you don't need to do any effort. You don't have to do nothing. But Jesus said you should pray and you should meditate on God both day and night. That's what the Bible say. Even everybody in the Bible followed the Jewish religion. They did. You can't say, well, I love God and I'm going to sin every day. I mean, I'm talking about sinning. You're sinning every day, but you say you love God. Well, your actions not matching what you say. And I know nobody's perfect, but you should be striving towards perfection. And you know, and God know if you're striving or if you're just playing. But I got to tell you about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for something that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day. And I'll tell you this. I used to think Relief Factor wasn't for me, right? Before I ever took it, I said, oh, you know, I'm 30. I'm in my 30s. I play football. I don't need no Relief Factor. Oh, my God. When I tried Relief Factor, I did not realize how my joints were not functioning at the full capacity. My lower back was killing me. And I just thought I just had to deal with it because of years of football, years of being a police officer. When I started taking Relief Factor, it started to feel better. And I was shocked. I'm not going to lie. I was shocked. And so I told him, I said, look, I'm not talking about no Relief Factor, nothing on this show until I take it. And if I take it and it work, I'll talk about it. And that's why y'all hear me talking about it every single day. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF.
Keeping it real.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Office Tatum Show. I want to just continue this. I'm going to stop preaching here in a second. I'll pass the virtual offering plate around later. But if I just want to just clear it up because I see pastors that get on television and they get on the YouTube and they say things that sound really cute and it sound really cool and it make people feel really comfortable and good, but it's not leading to success, right? Just handing somebody something and... You know, like for instance, it's better for you to teach a person how to fish than just give them fish, right? And in a similar, not congruent analogy, is that it's better for you to understand the truth of God than to get feel-good messages all the time. There was this pastor that came on also, and he said that he was talking to a kid that said, do I have to stop smoking marijuana to be a Christian? And the pastor tell him, no, you don't have to stop smoking marijuana to be a Christian. And he said, are you sure? You know, what about the weed? So he said the kid pulled out the marijuana, started smoking it in front of the pastor and said, do I have to stop this to become a Christian? And the pastor said, no, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to stop doing anything to become a Christian. And I have never read anything like that anywhere in the scripture. Jesus said, repent. So what repent means turn from. You're turning from the world. You're turning from sin and you're pursuing God. Pick up your cross and follow me. These are words that Jesus was saying, is that you need to turn from the wicked ways. And some people think that, and I wish this was true, but it's not. Some people think that you're just going to be able to do whatever you want to do. And just because one day at a church 40 years ago, you said, I confess in my mouth, believe in your heart, that somehow you just going to walk, you're going to skate in there. Jesus told his apostles, and this is scripture. You don't have to believe me. You can just look it up. He told his apostles, if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the scribe or the Pharisee, you will no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Do you think he was playing, or do you think he was just saying that just because it sounds cute? I think he really meant that when he told his apostles that. I mean, he also went on and made a couple reference points. One was, in that day, they're going to say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied thy name? Have I not done all these wondrous works? I'm paraphrasing a little bit on the scripture. Have I not done these wondrous works? And he's going to tell them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, what would make him say that to a person who's prophesying, who's doing works? It's because you're a worker of iniquity. And therefore, we are called to be like Christ. Did Christ sin? That's the question. Did Christ sin? The Bible says Christ did not sin. Now, this is what I want to propose to the Christians. According to the scripture, that Jesus went to heaven and he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And preachers today preach this all wrong. However, if you are a person and you believe that you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then why are you sinning? If you are supposed to continue to sin in the rest of your life, then what do you get the Holy Spirit for? For you to just keep sinning? So you telling me that the Spirit of God in you don't have enough power to stop you from sinning? Okay, I'm just asking a question. Don't get mad. Don't kill the messenger. I believe that we are to be like Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ not sin? He had the Spirit of God in him, and he did things that put him in the position to stay in communion with the Father, right? He prayed. Are you praying? You know, he meditated both day and night. He fasted. And when he was tested by the devil, he passed because he was fasting and he was in tune with the Father. Some of us get tested and you at the club and you leave the club, get tested and you fail. You ain't aligning yourself to be in the best position possible to keep your mind focused on the things of God. And I'll tell you this, every single person has a purpose, and God has called you to do something while you're here. Now, one day in that church 40 years ago, you said, I confess in my mouth, I believe in my heart. Okay, when you die, what do you think at the gates the conversation is going to be with you? I called you to do this, this, and this, and this. You did none of that. I never heard from you. You never talked to me. You never prayed. Remember that lady that you spoke? You didn't help nobody. You were selfish your whole life. You didn't give. You didn't love. You weren't forgiven of anybody. Why should I forgive you? All of these things, I wish that pastors would teach us, help us, gear us in a direction to be perfected at, versus telling you, you can do whatever you want to do. God will forgive you for everything. I mean, hey, there's going to come a point in time where it's going to be judgment day. And Christians are going to be very, very shocked at the end, because it says that wide or broad is the way, broad is the path, narrow is the way. Only the elect will scarcely make it in. What does that even mean? That means that you better be doing what Christ asked you to do. It's very simple. Some people think, well, I don't have to do all these works. I got to do all these works. How much works do I have to do to get ahead? You ain't got to do all that. You just got to do what he asked you to do. That's it. And if you struggle with certain things, your objective is to improve, to get those things right. And it's funny because we can do this in every aspect of our life except for when it comes to biblical stuff. Your boss tell you, I'm going to fire you if you do this. If you be late again, I'm going to fire you. How many of y'all will be on time every single day? You'll fix, that'll be fixed. You will never be late again because you cannot afford to get fired. It's the same thing about your salvation too. How many of you guys going to listen to what Jesus said? How many are you going to listen to what Jesus called you to do? I'm just saying this to try to help us. The strive is to be like Christ, to love like Christ, to think like Christ. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you are a new creation. What does that mean? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You are born again. That means you need to be different than you were when you weren't saved or have salvation. You should not be still cussing your friend out because you're mad. You should not be listening to music that if Jesus was in a car with you, would he be listening with you? No, he wouldn't. And I say this too about the abortion conversation. If now I ran out of time, we'll talk about this abortion thing in a minute because y'all need to hear this. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I just want to finish the thought on this premise of abortion. I want you to think about it like this. What would Jesus do? I mean, people used to wear that wristband. What would Jesus do? Now, if you're a woman and you got into a situation, whether you got raped or whether you just sleeping with Tyrone and you know you shouldn't have, and you end up with a baby. If Jesus was your best friend and you went to Jesus and you said, Jesus, I want you to know I'm pregnant. What should I do about it? Can somebody on here tell me that Jesus will tell you to go get an abortion? Do you think Jesus will tell you to go get an abortion? I think that to me, this should clear it up for Christians. Now, if you ain't a Christian, then you do whatever you want to do. I don't know what you're going to do. But people that are saying they're Christians and they're supporting abortions, Jesus would never do something like that. Jesus would say, trust me, I can make this right. You just have to believe in me. Have faith in me. Follow me. Listen to the things that I taught you. I will make this right for you. Put it in my hands. Quit trying to play God. That's what Jesus would say to people. He wouldn't say, hey, I don't know what your future look like. This may mess up your job. The job that I gave you, it's going to mess it up because I ain't strong enough to stop this baby from messing up your job. I don't have enough power. I have power, but I don't have enough power to stop that from happening to you. Yeah, I know somebody raped you, but I don't have enough power to make that right for you. To give you peace, turn that situation into a blessing. But I'm supposed to be God to you, but I don't have enough power to do that because rape is too big for me to make right. It's too big for me. I'm just throwing it out there. I just want people to understand that because I can't have abortions, right? But there's other things in life that men go through that let me give you an example. When I had my first son, you think I was ready to have a kid? First of all, I shouldn't have been doing what I was doing. I was supposed to be a Christian out there sinning. But once she was pregnant, I said, oh, man, I shouldn't have been doing that. However, man, God, listen, I messed up, but I'm going to put my faith in you to make this right because I got a lot of challenges ahead of me because of this, but I'm just going to put my faith in you and not do this again. And he made it right. You don't got to go to abortion clinic to make it right. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. I got 30 seconds. Don't hold a phone. You can hold it if you want to, but I got 30 seconds. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I want to hear from you. You listen to The Officer Tatum Show. Hold a phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is The Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got a bunch of calls calling in, and I didn't have my board up. So if I missed you, I apologize. But call in, 844-900-7243. Let me go to Will out of Houston, Texas.
Hello?
Will, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, what's going on, brother, man? Thanks for taking my call, man. A couple of quick questions I have for you. You mentioned something earlier when you were talking about the Hunter Biden laptop and some of the stuff that was there on there, and what we were saying that what you were saying that should have been like some of the top priorities. Have you heard? So you know Rudy Giuliani and a guy by the name of Bernard Carrick. Are you familiar with him, Bernard Carrick, by any chance?
Not Bernard. If I saw his face, maybe, but I'm aware of Rudy Giuliani.
Okay, so when the whole thing first came out, Bernard Carrick, and I think he was actually a Fox News contributor. A police officer from out of New York, actually. He and Rudy Giuliani, because they were one of the first ones to get the laptop, they took the laptop to the FBI because of some of the stuff that they saw on there. And I think some of the stuff that they found was some of the stuff that you mentioned earlier. So my question, I'm wondering, you know, if this stuff was actually, if the laptop is confirmed to be true now, if it's, you know, it's confirmed and it's no longer just a Russian disinformation thing. And if the stuff, and if you look it up, you'll see what Rudy Giuliani and Bernard Carrick said that they found. And if this is true, then I'm wondering why. You would think that would be like national headline news. Why is that?
It's because you know these people are in bed with each other. I think people that lead the FBI, they literally are saying, "Don't investigate it. Don't do anything with it." They had a guy get arrested from the FBI or get fired from the FBI just recently for trying to can one of these investigations into Hunter Biden or somebody. It was one of these Democrats. And I think that they're in business together, man. The documents that they found in Joe Biden's house, they found those before the November election. This is old. When it came out, they made it come out after the election. They waited. They held this information until after the election to say something about the top secret documents at Biden's residence. They're in cahoots with one another. That's what this is about.
So if you can ever, and I wish it would get more national attention, if you could ever interview Bernard Carrick, I'm sure he could go into more detail into you know what they found and what they submitted, and people can start asking the question, okay, where did it go? Did it just disappear? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Will, thank you so much. Thanks for my call. I gotta move, but. I agree with you. I'm going to try to get one of those guys. I'll see if we can get contact with one of those guys and have them come on and give a full explanation of what they saw. Because, I mean, I saw stuff. They had stuff plastered all over the internet. And there's some stuff that I saw on there. And there's nothing that seemed to be illegal. I mean, on face value, I don't know. Using drugs is illegal, but I don't know where he was using those drugs at. I'm sure in any country using cocaine is illegal. And how did he get the cocaine there? And then it looked like he had girls that were prostitutes. I don't know if they were prostitutes or he just found them in a club somewhere. But he was doing a lot of the weird, nefarious things on there. And I'm sure that there's more. People are telling me that there's a lot more on there, like child pornography. I didn't see that. And that wasn't on the internet, I don't believe. But people are saying that there's more to it that wasn't put out there. And I don't know. We'll see. I can't confirm or deny that because I have no information on that. I have not seen it, and I don't want to see it. All right, let me go to our next caller here, Jake from Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Mr. Tatum, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
Good. I'm a big fan of your show. I'm just going back to what you mentioned a couple segments ago about people who kind of stray away from God or who don't follow His commandments. On the day of judgment, they might not like what happens to them. I don't want to put words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong on this. But are you implying a certain sense of legalism once somebody is a Christian?
No. I'm implying that just because people say they're Christian don't mean they're Christians, and just because people say that they're going to heaven don't mean they're going to heaven. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah. Of course, yeah. Because I know people who like think that, you know, they grew up in the church, so they think they're saved, or it sounds like I kind of misinterpreted what you were saying. Now, granted, the analogy that you used by the pastor telling the kid he can still smoke if he wants to be saved. If I'm personally witnessing to somebody and they're like, hey, can I smoke and still be going to heaven? I'm like, well, yeah, because it's not contingent upon how much you smoke. It's contingent upon your faith in Jesus Christ. And after that, then they're like, well, is God quit me smoking? I'm like, I don't think so, but that's between you and God to deal with.
Well, look, let me give you a tougher evangelical response, because, of course, the guy used marijuana because that's an easy one. What if a guy came to you and said he's watching child pornography every day?
Well, all sins are the same to God.
No, I'm just telling you. So, if he said he's raping, if he said he's watching child pornography every night, are you going to have the same conversation with him? I mean, you think that he could just keep doing that and be a Christian?
If he's doing that, my guess is he's already not a Christian.
No. But the question to the guy was, can I smoke weed and be a Christian? And the guy said, you can do whatever you want and you can still become a Christian. Not that you can continue to be a Christian. He was asking, can I smoke weed and become a Christian? Do I have to stop smoking to become a Christian? And so that's kind of what the conversation was. And the pastor, you know, obviously used a very low level. I don't even know if smoking marijuana is even a sin anyway. I mean, you know,
I get what you're saying. And you make a good point. Yeah. But, you know, increase the level of the sin, so to speak, and see if that will play out. Cause the way I see, and I'm kind of a black and white thinker. I'm like, you know, no sin to God is lesser or greater. Can you watch child pornography and still be a Christian? I think that is possible. I think your soul is going to be tormented because that's still not the right thing to do. And I think God would convict you, like, hey, look, dude, you're doing some pretty messed up stuff, and you're still my son. You're still going to join me in heaven, but this is messed up. And I think you would feel a great sense of, this is not right, but I can't stop doing it. But that's like an internal heart battle between, you know, you and God, and your soul needing its cleansing, so to speak, you know, renew your soul to the Word of God on a daily basis. Because I've got my skeletons in the closet. I'm not admitting to child porn, of course. But
yeah,
I got things that I'm not happy to say that I engage in. But
Jake, the question I would ask you is that why are you still struggling with it? Is the question, because if you do what Jesus told you to do, you probably wouldn't struggle. The problem is we live this life where we feel like we could just do whatever we want to do, and somehow that's acceptable to God because we said it is. I don't think that's acceptable to God. You cannot go to heaven with sin. Now, Jesus died that you may have relationship with the Father in heaven that will cover your sins. You can ask for forgiveness. You know, the point is, if you could just sin and everything's okay, then what's the point of asking for forgiveness? You have to repent. And if you're approaching the throne, And we can go off the Bible. In the book of Acts, when Peter was beginning the first church and the people had realized that they had crucified Christ, and they said, men and brethren, what should we do to be saved? And Peter said, you shall repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is a real thing. Like, you have to turn from your ways. So when a pastor tell a young man, oh, you can still do whatever you want to do and still be a Christian, that's not true. You need to repent. You got to turn. You got to leave the world. Turn from the world and be ye separated. And then, because what I think people miss is they think that, like, because I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that somehow they just translate into something different. It's like, no, what you're doing is you're taking up your cross and you're following Christ. You're pursuing. You can't pursue when you knee deep in sin. The way that you can pursue is when you turn from your wicked ways, when you make the action of turning, say, I'm going to put this aside. I want to be with Jesus. And then you begin to get closer. Then you begin to get revelation. God can't use people. And in my opinion, can't use people that's in a perpetual state of sin. And people get themselves separated. I got to run to the, how much time I have to the break? I got 30 seconds. Jake, hold the phone. I'm running out of time in this segment. I'm going to get to the rest of you guys who have called in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I think it's a very interesting conversation. The conversation needs to be had about salvation. Hold the phone. I'll be back.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you about an opportunity to bless people who are in desperate need. And when I say desperate, all you got to do is turn on the television, turn on YouTube, and Google search Turkey and Syria earthquake. And you will see buildings that have come down on so many people. Some of them are dying. Some of them are already passed away. They're doing the best that they can to rescue these people from such a catastrophic event. It's approaching now close to 12,000 people that have been killed in this earthquake in Syria and in Turkey. And I want to employ to you, because I'm the type of person, I put my money where my mouth is at and I put my actions where my faith is at. I want us to come together and help out as much as we can in Syria and in Turkey. And Food for the Poor is doing another drive and an opportunity to rush emergency relief, supplies, medicine, and water to places that have been heavily hit in Turkey and in Syria. All you have to do to participate with me, I'm not just telling you to do it. My family's going to do it. As soon as I get home, we're going to come up with an amount that our family can afford to give to help out in this situation. TheOfficerTatum.com, T-H-E, OfficerTatum.com, and click on the banner at the very top of my website. It says Help Turkey and Syria. Help by clicking on that, going and giving a tax-deductible donation of any amount that you can. I'm not telling you to go and break your bank unless God has called you to do that, but do something. Because if you gave $10, that's doing something. Because if 1 million people give $10, that's $10 million. That is something. Understand that. Don't get discouraged if you feel like you ain't got a lot of money. Just give something to help these people. And I believe God will bless you because of that. Or if you don't go to the site, the website, and you want to just text to make it easier, you can text Tatum to 91999. Text Tatum, T-A-T-U-M, to 91999. There's five numbers there. 91 and then 999. I know it's confusing to some listening to it, but if I repeat it enough, you'll get it. Go on and give and let's support this organization and helping Food for the Poor organization and helping out in Syria and in Turkey. Let me get back to my spiritual talk. I'm telling you this. I believe that God has called us to be sinless. He didn't call you to sin less. He called you to be sinless. Now, our pursuit should be to be sinless. Not to say, oh, I got a couple sins that I'm dangling with. I'll get them right by the time I die. It's like, no, God has called you to be like Christ. Why would Christ do what he did? If you weren't able to be without sin, Christ wouldn't have taught you nothing. Why would he teach you anything? He wasn't going to sin. He could have just died and rolled and said, hey, man, do your best you can. He went through and said, this is how you pray. He pointed out what the Pharisees were doing that were inaccurate, and he said, this is what you do not do. He told his apostles, if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the scribe or the Pharisee, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. He went on to clarify what sins were. It's not just enough for you not to commit adultery, but the adultery of the mind is also a sin. He went through and did all of these things, hearing from the Father in heaven, to get us to a place where we do not sin. What does being born again mean? You're not born again just for you to be doing the same thing. You become a new creation. a new creature in Christ. And I'm not telling people that you can't work on what you're doing, but you should be working on it. You should not be working on it and think you're just going to go to heaven just because you feel like it. You better read what Jesus said. A lot of pastors will tell you in a minute, you ain't got to do nothing to go to heaven. All you got to do is just believe. The devil believes. You think he going to heaven? He believe. You think the devil don't know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Do you think he know that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior? You think he don't? He know better than you. The devil knows who Jesus is, and the devil understands what Jesus' purpose is. With the acknowledgement of who Jesus is, he decides not to follow Christ. He can acknowledge and know who he is, but he don't have to follow him. Just like the churches teach you today. You can confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you don't have to follow him, and you're going to go to heaven. Come on, man. That don't make no sense. Show me somebody in the Bible that did that. Nobody. What did the apostles do? Were they running around sinning with Jesus? No, they were not. When Jesus told them, he gave them the Spirit. The Spirit is to help you be sinless. It's not to help you continue in sin. But they don't teach that in the church anymore anyway. But I'm telling you, the faith without works argument is very simple. I'm going to read you a scripture. James 2, 14. And I'm not going to read all the way down. You can read it on your own time. In that scripture, it says, what good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Which is a question mark. If a brother or sister is poor, clothed, and lack in daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That's what the Bible say. And it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the devil or demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? And I can continue to read. To me, it's very clear. He even put Rahab in it. He said, Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messenger or the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. I don't understand why people cannot understand this. When you read in the Bible with this context in mind, and it says faith and grace saves you, you have to understand the multiplier is works applied is equals your faith. Let me try to make a mathematical equation out of this so we can understand it. Is that when you look at your faith, you have to say that your works justifies your faith. You can't just say, I believe Jesus is Lord. Okay, a lot of people do. But that does not mean that you are doing things that represent what you claim you believe. It's easy to say, stop smoking marijuana. Do you have to stop smoking marijuana to go to heaven? Of course, a pastor will say that, and he'll make this cool analogy and say, ooh, look at this, everybody. But he won't go down to the nitty gritty and talk about the real sinful things. I'll talk about it after the break. Hold the phone. Speak no truth over time gone by. The now is through. There's a little girl in our neighborhood. Her name is Charlotte Johnson, and she's really looking good. I had to go and see her, so I called her on the phone.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. If you enjoy listening to me and you want to watch me and listen to me at the same time, which is what I love to do. When I hear somebody, I want to see their face. I want to see who they are, see their mannerisms. Because y'all missing out on a lot of animation. Missing out on the facial expressions. You're missing out on the videos I show. Y'all missing out if you just listen on the radio. Catch me in this beautiful faith. I mean, God did a work when he did this one. Anyway, I'm just joking. Somebody like, he's so conceited. I'm joking, okay? I'm joking. I am a good-looking man, but, you know, anyway. Let me move on. If you want to check it out, go to SalemNewsChannel.com. SalemNewsChannel.com. Or you can download it on the app from the app stores. Just put it Salem News Channel in your search, and you'll see the app that pops up. And also, you got the Roku. Put it in the search. It'll pop up. If you're on the website and you have it, make sure you bookmark us so it's always readily available so you can hit it, watch it when I go live. All right, let me get back to the spiritual side of this. I just think it's important to talk about these things. These people, I just want to say this. You got to read the whole Bible. Put precept upon precept, line upon line. Concept, and I'll make this up, concept upon concept. Like, you have to understand what the Bible is saying in totality. You can't say, oh, well, Peter said it, but then Paul said it, so therefore Paul is right and Peter's not. If you ask me, if you had to pick somebody that was right, Paul never walked with Jesus. He did not. So he was kind of an addition after the apostles. So if you're in the business of picking people, you may want to pick somebody to actually walk with Jesus and understand that Paul was kind of an addition. And I don't know why we use most of the Pauline epistles to put the Bible together, because there's obviously so much more going on before Paul was ever converted. But anyway, regardless of that, me personally, I think you need to read the whole Bible and let God give you the understanding, because all things that were written, in my opinion, were written for your benefit. But, you know, there's just scriptures that I continue to talk about and people avoid. And when I see the avoidance of certain scriptures, I realize that cemetery school is killing people. And when you hear me say cemetery school, I'm referring to seminary school. People go to seminary school and learn doctrine. They don't go to seminary school and have a relationship with God. Not all, but I think generally speaking, they're teaching you what to learn, what to know. The Father in heaven is the one who gives you wisdom on matters such as this. It's not a person going and telling you. Now, you can learn history, right? There's a historical context to it that you should learn. But they teach you doctrine, too. They don't just go through impartial history. They start to teach you the doctrine of their church, right? If they believe in the Trinity, they teach you the doctrine of the Trinity. If they don't believe in the Trinity, they teach you another doctrine. Whatever they believe in, they're going to teach it to you. Do you really think that Church of Latter-day Saints, Mormons, their seminary school is the same as, I don't even know if they have a seminary school, but if they did, you think they're teaching the same thing as a Baptist church? Do you think a Catholic seminary is teaching you the same thing as a non-Catholic seminary? I mean, come on. They teach you whole different Bibles. But then we all come together, you know, let me move away from that. However, I'll just say this. Jesus, if you don't know what else to do, just follow what Jesus did. If you can't understand what Paul is saying, what Peter and him saying, just follow what Jesus did. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus, and this is why I'm so firm on this salvation thing, and that it involves you participating in your salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus, go look it up. John 3, verse 3 through 5. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't say you can be. He didn't say it will be good for you to. He didn't say it was an outward expression of an inward change. He said, you shall be born again. Nicodemus did not understand. Like, I would argue that most Christians don't understand it today. He said, can I enter into my mother's womb once again? What do you mean born again? He said, no, you should be born of the water and of the spirit. And he said, you shall be born again of the water and of the spirit. And if you don't, you will not enter or see into the kingdom of God. What does that mean to us, Christians? If he say that if you are not born again, you cannot enter or see into the kingdom of God, what does that mean? And some churches don't even talk about that because they don't want that to be a truth. But Jesus said it was a truth. Not only did he say it, he had John the Baptist baptize him, which is born of the water. And the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, which is born of the Spirit. And he did that. And the Father in heaven said, my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus never had a ministry. Well, he didn't start his ministry until after he was born again, according to what he said to Nicodemus. There's no reason for Jesus to be baptized. What would Jesus be baptized for? And why would the Spirit descend on Jesus? What would he need the Holy Spirit for? It's clear what he needed for. He was giving us to it as an example. Let me tell you about Relief Factor, and I'll finish in the last segment. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, except today. I'm full transparency. I left my Relief Factor when I came here. So this is the day I didn't take it. But normally, I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works well for me. A 35-year-old man, I thought it was for people who are much older than me. I don't need no Relief Factor, man. I'm a beast. And then I realized, hold on. My joints, I never felt my joints feel this good before. I did not know my lower back would ever feel better than feeling tight every morning. I had to get up and stretch until I started taking Relief Factor. And I'm like, oh, this works. This is legit. This works. And I want you to give it a try. Start with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95 and go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Common sense in an uncommon way. Act like you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media. On social media. At The Officer Tatum on all of my platforms, even on YouTube. I want to tell you guys about the crazy, incredible, I say crazy because I couldn't believe that this could even happen, the MyPillow 2.0. When I got the first MyPillow, because you know I try this stuff before I tell you about it. So the MyPillow, the first one, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I thought MyPillow was kind of gimmicky. And I was like, they probably selling basic stuff, man. This ain't no high-end stuff. Oh my God, I got the MyPillow, the original MyPillow. There's little bitty baby pillows in there, and you lay your head on it, and it just smooth. It sinks right into the pillow. The best pillow that I've ever slept on was the MyPillow. Now Mike Lindell has come out with the MyPillow 2.0. I can't believe he can make it better. Now, I'm telling you guys, full transparency, I haven't got my pillow yet, but as soon as I get it, I'm going to give you guys an honest review of it. But I tell you right now, if you had the first one, if he made it a smidget better, it is off the chain. And if you haven't had a MyPillow altogether, you need to go and get this 2.0. You could jump right over the original and jump right into the 2.0. And for my listeners exclusively, you get buy one, get one free. You can't get this anywhere else. You buy one, get one for your spouse. If you're making your wife mad because you're out all night, just go get her a MyPillow. All you got to do is buy one and get the other one for free. Hers came free. She ain't got to tell you about spending no money. You're wasting y'all money. You say, baby, this is free. Anyway, I ain't going to tell you how to you be getting divorced until my Brandon told me. Go to MyPillow.com, put in discount code Brandon, and you'll get buy one, get one free special on the MyPillow 2.0. All right, let me get back to this. I'm going to read another scripture because people like to use the saved by grace through faith. So I'm going to go through Ephesians chapter 2. Some people don't understand when I say Ephesians 2. That's church talk. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to go down to where it talks about grace and faith. Where should I go? Let me go to 5. I'm just going to randomly jump into 5. No, let me go to 4. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions or trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And then it goes on to say, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that any man may boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, people get confused and they say, see, he said, we say by grace, not works. If you go back to James, he said, works alone don't do nothing for you. You got to have your faith and works together. If you have faith with no works, your faith is dead. That word becomes dead. You got to scratch it off the board. It becomes dead. So when he's speaking about faith here, he's speaking about faith with works, not just works alone. You cannot say, I have done all of the rudiments and now I got salvation. You cannot earn salvation. Salvation has been given. It's like, can you earn? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out something that you can earn. Yeah, I got to think of something because it's rarely things that you don't work for to earn. But like, can you earn this? You cannot earn it. It was already presented to you. It's given for you. Now, you don't just get it just because it's out there. The creation of it, the availability of it is given to you. You can't create it and earn it. It's given to you. It's there available for you. You have to take advantage of it. You being an atheist ain't gonna get you saved because God gave grace to the people. You have to pursue it. It's an action word. And when you talk about the faith, you cannot use the word faith without works. That's what the Bible say. And the funny thing is people like to choose this, but they never go back to James 2. If you're going to believe this, you got to go to James 2 to get the interpretation of both. Because the way some people think, that mean that in James, that's a lie. It's not a lie. Both of these scriptures go together. You have to understand the concept of faith without works is dead. Therefore, anytime the word faith is used, it's used in conjunction with works. If somebody just claiming they have faith with no works, that is dead. They do not have faith. That is no such thing as just you talking. And I made this analogy and Sean told me that the analogy was a pretty good analogy. And is that Jesus couldn't just say, oh, okay, I acknowledge I'm dying for your sins. That's what you guys got to understand. That's the kind of faith that people are expecting Christ to accept. Is you to just say, oh, I just believe it. You don't have to do nothing about it. You just believe it. That's not how anything works in any spectrum in God's creation. Nothing has happened that way. Where you just say, oh, I believe, and it just happens. Even the woman had the issue with blood. When Jesus was coming through the town, she couldn't say, I just know Jesus will heal me. She's sitting up somewhere. I just know Jesus will heal me when he come into town. He's just going to heal me. She said, if I can just touch his garment, I can be healed. Her faith was, I know he can do it. Her works was, I'm going to touch his garment. Faith and works together manifested. Now, she just went up and touched his garment, but didn't have faith that he could do it. What would happen? Nothing. She would just be touching his garment and getting her fingernails dirty. But she had to have faith that he can do it and then touched his garment. And that together was made manifested. The same thing happens with your salvation. You can't just say, I'm just going to follow the laws, but you don't have faith that Jesus Christ died for your sins. So you're just following laws. That's works. That's works, works, works. Works ain't gonna get you to heaven. You have to do both. Like the woman with the issue with blood, you have to believe that Jesus did it. And then you have to then follow him. Those two things in conjunction is what gives you salvation. Faith without works is dead. When you get that part, you'll understand that we're saved by grace through faith. And that's the end of my sermon. Go ahead and give that offering to Food for the Poor. Don't give it to me. If you've been blessed, give it to Food for the Poor so they can help them people in Syria and in Turkey at theofficertatum.com. Just click on the link at the top. You can get it. Or text Tatum to 91999. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. I got to tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I tell this story every single day, at least twice an hour, about how Relief Factor has been incredible. And it's funny because there's so many testimonies. And when I met with the CEO and we were eating dinner, and he was telling me about these crazy stories of people saying how Relief Factor has blessed them in a tremendous way. Now, of course, legally, I can't get on here and say all this stuff that they said because you can't make promises like that. However, you could try for yourself. I know people that have said that they've had injuries and different things like that, and they started taking Relief Factor and they were made better. And you don't have to listen to me. I want you to try for yourself. Go to relieffactor.com. Get started with the 3-week quick starter. That in 1995, all this stuff I be talking about, try it for yourself. 3 weeks, relieffactor.com, or call the number 804-RELIEF. Don't you ever
ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a
I need you guys to be very quick and brief, and I love you. I wish that I had you on earlier, but I got to be brief. This is my last segment. I'm going to shut my mouth because I'm taking up your time. When I bring you on, please make it about 30 seconds. Give me a pitch. Give me what you want to say, and so I can get to everybody on the call log. So I'm going to start with Kelly from Nashville. Welcome to the
Officer
Tatum Show.
Officer Tatum.
Hey, Kelly.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for your point of view as far as police officers. I have a family of police officers. My husband is a black conservative and turned me on to you. And people just don't understand what police officers face every single day and the decisions they have to make, and that there are so many awesome, great police officers that when something like Memphis happens, it makes everybody look bad, but one bad officer does not equate to every officer being bad.
Amen.
And I just appreciate your point of view and the way you so eloquently state, you know, that people need to comply, period.
I agree. Kelly, thank you so much for the call. God bless you. And God bless your husband for introducing you. I really appreciate it. Let me get to Kurt from St. Paul. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hey, Kurt, I got 30 seconds. What you got?
You know, I just want to thank you, Brandon, for speaking the truth and blessing people with commentary on, you know, how society's unraveling and how people can be saved. I mean, it's one of the most important things there is right now. Have been down in the area. Used to hang out in the neighborhood down where the George Floyd thing happened. And there's a Christian man that has a nice barbecue place down there, and his business was kind of plunged. And yet is coming back, and I'm praising God that this Christian man still has a business. Also, I just wanted to share that metanoia, repentance means first to believe in Christ, to have a change of mind that he is the Son of God, and that when you do that, you believe he paid the price as the Son of God, then you move to the sin. The second meaning, which is turn from your sin, both are important.
Yes, sir. Kurt, I thank you so much for the call. God bless you. I agree with what I heard you say. Repentance, you believe, then you turn from, and then you go and get baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That ain't what I said. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of here. I think I'm going to talk to you guys tomorrow. I should be back in the studio tomorrow in Phoenix. I love you. Thank you all. God bless you. I'll catch you on the next show. Hold the phone. I'll be back.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.